Welcome to the Kinda Crunchy podcast, where we talk about all things health and wellness. We can't wait for you to hear today's episode, so let's get to it.
Hi guys, welcome to Kinda Crunchy. My name is Jensen.
I'm Rachel.
And we are joined with a special guest this week. So we're not going to do any life updates this week. We're just going to get right into it. This week we are talking about clean beauty. I feel like this is something that you guys ask us a lot about because most of you guys wear makeup, and it's crazy how the skin truly is like the biggest organ of our body, and we put so much on it every day, and it's like that has such a big impact on our health. So that's such a like a small change that has like big results. So that's something that you guys ask us about a lot, or it's just something a lot of times that people in their like clean journey, they're like, oh, what can I swap out with makeup? So we're talking about clean beauty day, and we have a guest on. I'd like to welcome Leah. She is here just to talk about all things clean beauty. It's something she's super passionate about. I met Leah. She's been kind of my like beauty counter rep because I do use some of their products. And we met like once or twice in person. We're both from the Lancaster area. But Leah, thank you for being on. I will let you kind of give a brief introduction of yourself and we can get into this week's episode.
Yes, I'm Leah and I am a mom of two. I am kind of a Jane of all trades. I run three small businesses out of our home. And in my out of home career, I was a director for a special education private school for students with autism. And I've always taught autism support for, I think, 10 years before I ended up staying home with my kids. And I think in some weird ways, my time in the autism classroom meeting with parents who were their whole lives were focused on a different way of living and a different way of learning. Without realizing it then, and honestly, just probably in the past year or two, I've had these little throwback moments of meeting people, parents specifically, who are looking for different solutions than the mainstream. And I was really good at helping come up with those things in the classroom. But some of the things that they said before I was a parent, before I knew better, sounded a little, you know, a little kooky, a little woo-woo, right? We've all heard the things that we are like, I don't know about that. But now, looking back, I think, gosh, they were just being people trying to survive and do better and learn. And I didn't have the perspective at that time to really understand it. So in some kind of strange way, in reflecting on how my careers have all kind of meshed together, I think that I've started paying more attention to holistic alternative lifestyle choices longer than I probably realized.
That is awesome. I love that you shared that. So I have a past of working in special education as well in the realm of occupational therapy. And I definitely understand what you're saying there because there's so many parents that, you know, want to explore any route possible for helping their child. And so they do sometimes turn to these holistic options and want to integrate those. And so that's really interesting how now, hindsight, you're able to look back and see, oh, I see the perspective these people were coming from. That kind of maybe you align with more now or understand more now. So today we wanted to talk to you a little bit about all things holistic health and wellness, like we always do here, but specifically somewhat talking about clean beauty too, because we know you have a lot of experience with that. And I am curious, what got you on this journey? Was there a specific tipping point for you that got you into Beauty Counter and clean beauty and this non-toxic lifestyle, or what exactly got you started?
Yeah, I've really spent a lot of time reflecting on this. And on one hand, I wish I had some compelling story. You know, I had this traumatic life event, but also I'm really grateful that I don't have a traumatic story of how I got here. You know, in my line of work, I've been with Beauty Counter for 4 years now. I meet a lot of women, a lot of families, and some of us fell into it in kind of a silly way, which I'll share my story in a few minutes. But other people landed here because they were 25 and diagnosed with breast cancer. And they showed up in an office and were given a pamphlet that said, avoid phthalates, avoid parabens, check your makeup, stop using your lotion, change your sunscreen. And they're like, wait a minute, why didn't I know this before? Or they're at a fertility clinic and they get that same pamphlet. And it's like, goodness, like, ah, you want to shake people because why didn't I know? And so I'm so grateful that I don't have that perspective of how I got here. But it was kind of a silly thing. I was pregnant in early 2020 before COVID with my second child. And at that time, I started noticing that I was looking a little tired and I just wanted an eye cream. That's all I wanted. I was like, I've never had an eye cream before, but I think it's time. And for whatever reason, I had like a voice in my head telling me that retinol was bad, even though a friend had recommended some retinol cream. And I, for some reason, just thought, I don't think I'm supposed to use that while I'm pregnant. I didn't even know on the whole. I just thought, while I'm pregnant. And weirdly, at the same time, a friend was having a beauty counter clean beauty event on Facebook. She said, just join this. I think they have eye cream, you know, check it out. And basically, I learned that there's no regulation in the cosmetic industry. And that was the first time I had heard that 4 years ago. I mean, I'm almost 40 years old. Like, I lived my adult life not knowing. And it made me so angry. It still makes me angry to think about people being able to shop and not know what we're bringing into our homes, putting on our bodies, putting on our children's bodies. And so it kind of snowballed from there. 2020 happened. I needed a career change. The school I was director of didn't close during COVID, but I was pregnant during COVID. It was a whole, you know, time in 2020. So I needed something to contribute to our family income. I chose to partner with Beauty Counter and just see how it went. And then it ended up turning into this whole community of women, men, families, where I just keep learning more and more, and my eyes were finally open. So it's not some dramatic thing. It was an eye cream that I needed because I was tired. And that's kind of how I started here. And it's just really snowballed into learning more and more every day about the importance of the products that we use.
That's awesome. It's crazy how like one little thing, like you were just tired, you wanted an eye cream, and now it has led to a career and just like how many beneficial things for your health, like just like every chemical that you were putting on your body before, like now you know, and now you can advocate that to other women, to everyone around you. Like, it's just so cool how one thing can spiral into something so big. So I'm grateful that it wasn't anything super traumatic, that it was just something cool like that.
Right.
But that's awesome how, yeah, you're able to have a career out of it. And like, you're just so passionate about it. As you were saying that, I was just like reflecting on like my childhood and like teenage years and the products that I used. So many of them. Like, I just sometimes I go home and I look at like, sometimes I have like my old products from when I was like in high school or something, and I'm like, I was dousing my body in this, but we just didn't know. No. Like, nobody knew.
No. And Jensen, I did pageants when I was a teenager and in college, and I mentored young girls after I kind of got out of the title competing part of it. I traveled the country as a choreographer and producer for pageants. And we had some rules, you know, no makeup till you're 14 kind of thing. But even then it was like, oh, here's this great lipstick. And exposes herself to dozens of products before she leaves the house. And it sounds like a lot. But if you think about, you wash your hands, you wash your face, you might put on a toner or a serum or a moisturizer. Then you wear your sunscreen. If you wear makeup on a daily basis, you have foundation, you have eyebrow gel, you have mascara, you have eyeshadow, you have lipstick or lip gloss, or maybe both, and a lip liner, and then you have concealer. And it's like, oh my gosh, you really are exposed to that many things in a day. And if you have children, you're putting all the stuff on them too. So it's pretty like astounding, Jensen, when you do look back and think about what all we collected, right? And it was always the gift of purchase. One of my friends used to subscribe to one of those boxes. I forget what it was. And she got like 20 trial sizes of different brands every month, you know. And she has this little drawer still in her house of all of these samples. Mm-hmm. I'm like, stop using that stuff. You know, you have to pay attention. But yeah, it is wild how much it adds up.
Yeah, it's like little things here and there, but like a little things become a lot thing. Like when they all add up together. And it's so hard for me to like not want to. It's easy to like judge people now that I know, but I also have to remember that like there was a point when I didn't know. So it's like making sure, like, you know, that's why like we have this podcast. That's why you advocate for it. Like, we want people to know, because there's so majority of people, I think it is getting better, which is awesome. I feel like it is getting better, but a lot of people don't know. So kind of going into that about Beauty Counter, what sets Beauty Counter apart? Like, why? I mean, obviously you joined because, you know, the eye cream, but like, what kept you there? What do they do that you're just like, wow, yeah, this is something I want to be a part of. This is something I'm going to share with others. This is a really
hard question to answer. And honestly, the hardest part of my job, because like you said, it's easy to feel like a judgment or like you're being judged when you're sharing. And I never want to come across as condescending to someone like, oh, you've been using that sunscreen. That's never my thought, right? But the words and how we use them to share are really important. And the hardest thing about sharing Beauty Counter is that there's such a robust component to the brand as a movement and a mission. And our founder, Greg Renfrew, she's female, she's a woman. So she founded the company with the intention for our stories to be told person to person and for women to have a chance to share their stories amongst each other. We recommend things all the time. So I love the female founded base and the relationships part of the business model. The brand itself is a mission driven brand. Our mission statement is, get ready for it. Our mission is to get safer products into the hands of everyone. And that's the mission statement. And it makes me emotional when I say it because it's not Beauty Counter products. Like, our mission is safer products. And when we say everyone, the way that we do that is three components, three pillars to our business. One is to formulate great products. That's easy. We have great products that are high performing. You can find lots of those on the market. The second is to educate. We always lead with a heartbeat for education. And that's exactly why I'm here, to share with more people about how they can choose safer, where to look, what resources to use. Beauty Counter has great products to offer you, but we are not the only ones. And that's not our goal. Our goal is safer products. And the way that we get to everybody is our third pillar and the most important, and we are the only beauty brand that does this, is advocate. And when we say advocate, it doesn't mean just sitting on this, you know, call and sharing with you. We actually have boots on the ground in DC where we go and we like lobby on Capitol Hill for the current cosmetics reform legislation. So we've passed 12 state laws to reform cosmetic and personal care products. And then in 2022, what year are we in? December of 2022, we passed the first federal law since 1938 to regulate cosmetics. And so that will go into effect next year. We've been the leading brand, like leading the charges. There's been no reform to our personal care products since the 30s. So there are all kinds of pillars of this Cosmetic Reform Act of 2023. And we're super, super like really proud of being part of that. The act is called MOCRA, the Modernization of Cosmetics and Personal Care Act. And that is coming, like I said, in 2025. So I do believe like the advocacy part is the leading piece that stands us apart because our goal is safer products for everyone. On top of that, we really, really are heavy on safety of all of our ingredients. So we ban more than 2,800 ingredients. Right now, the federal law bans 30 in the United States, which is like mind blowing. And so even beyond that, we batch test every single product that we make. And we publish those results publicly. We also get them third-party tested. It's not just in-house. So we really do screen for heavy metals. We screen for carcinogens. And on our website, you can see all 23 safety endpoints that we test against for every single batch. We have a science advisory board that includes several specialists as far as sustainability, environmental impact, of course, our safety for our bodies, carcinogens, fertility, and reproductive harm. I mean, it's just like a robust list of all of the things. And, you know, some parts might appeal more to one person or another. We have a huge sustainability mission. We will be completely, recycled, recyclable, or full circle packaging by 2025. So that's glass bottles and post-consumer resin. And we have a partnership with Pact Collective so that if you have those small components that don't get recycled locally, you can mail them back to us. So there's so many different areas of our mission. The website does have a whole mission statement for each and every year, kind of like noting our progress each year and then any of our next goals. And you can read all about those things. For me, it's the safety factor. I know that no matter what, top line safety comes first, and I can always trust a Beauty Counter product for our family. We are radically transparent in our ingredient process, our ingredient selection. Somebody asked me a question a few years ago about our vitamin C serum because it has orange peel oil in it. And she had read something about water runoff into orange groves. And she wanted to know if there were factories near our orange groves that could be impacting the quality of our oranges and, I don't know, things I didn't understand. And I sent an email to our headquarters and they sent me right back. We don't measure runoff in our water. Here are the location of our orange groves. She is welcome to research. And like, we are radically transparent in that way. And I'm so grateful for that because that's all as a consumer that I want. I want to be able to access the information in an easy way. I shouldn't have to go on a, 10 million hour hunt or research to find out if my sunscreen is safe for my 6-month-old. I just shouldn't have to do that. And I really appreciate that factor that it's an easy button for our family when I need a product. And I can confidently share it with others knowing that it's safe for them as well.
I feel like that was just so much good information you gave us. And I think for me, like, I had no idea about a lot of that stuff that Beauty Counter was doing and the checks and balances there. So just super informative. And I love that you were saying that the mission is safer products. And yeah. I love that that is the mission because when you're looking for makeup, whether you're in the makeup aisle or you're looking online, it can be really overwhelming because there's so many options. And like you said, sometimes the labels will say all natural or free of these things. And you're not quite sure what to look for, what you should avoid, what you should look for, or what's good or what's not. And sometimes you can even be good intentioned thinking you're getting a good product because the marketing on it is really good. And then you're like, oh my goodness, now I found out there's this really bad ingredient in here. So with you working in the clean beauty industry and having so much knowledge about this, I was curious, are there any things that you can give to our listeners here? Kind of advice on maybe what to avoid in beauty products and then also maybe what they should look for when looking for a beauty product.
Yeah, of course. And it is hard. And, especially if you're a person who loves going to Sephora and you love going to Ulta and that's a fun experience for you and your friends. I think I'm a little too old for those stores. Like that wasn't a high school thing for me. Like we didn't do that with girlfriends and stuff. But I understand that that is a social event. Like we're going to Sephora this weekend. And, if that's something that is really exciting to you, a good start is going to something that says clean at Ulta. Conscious Beauty, I think, is at Ulta. And actually, to your point, Sephora actually lost a lawsuit recently because they had a whole section called Clean at Sephora. And someone said, I've been using this product and actually XYZ are in here and they are not clean. This is not okay. And that's part of the problem is there's no established definition of clean. And like you said, the brand might be trying to do their best and they don't even know. They don't have a science advisory board. They don't have an advocate for safety. So, starting in that section is a good start. Things to avoid, especially in personal care products that you will see a lot. Fragrance, perfume, you will see that everywhere. It's going to be in your powder. It might be in your lipstick. Fragrance, perfume is easiest one to avoid and sadly the easiest one to find. So you might pick up 60 things in the aisle and just be so frustrated. So I'm sorry about that. But that one, fragrance, if you aren't familiar with the loophole, that term fragrance can hide hundreds of ingredients and companies right now do not have to disclose what's in there. So even a shampoo bottle that says paraben-free, parabens, it might also say phthalate-free, those are classes of chemicals that are known to disrupt our hormones, may lead to cancer, and affect fertility and the safety of babies in the womb. So those products that have parabens and phthalates in them, the product that says they don't have parabens or phthalates, well, parabens and phthalates are also preservatives. And so fragrance as an ingredient has to be preserved in masses, right? Because the companies buy them in masses. So within that fragrance, there could be a paraben ingredient in there used to preserve the fragrance. And then, XYZ shampoo company is using that, but they didn't choose a paraben. So they don't know that that's in there either. So that's where that fragrance word is really frustrating because you just don't know. It could be totally fine. Side note, there is a company at Target, Grove Collaborative and Nine Elements. I don't know if you talk about them at all in your home home care products, laundry detergent, things like that. Those list Natural Fragrance, which you also may see. Both of those companies, because this is a passion for me, when I go into their website, they actually do disclose on their website their natural fragrance ingredients, and you can see everything disclosed there. So some companies really do have good heart, you know. So fragrance you'll want to avoid. Something else you'll see in personal care is talc. That is still being used, T-A-L-C, talc. It's what makes things powdery. And, you know, some brands say that it's totally safe. Johnson & Johnson lost bajillions of dollars in lawsuits because it has been related to ovarian cancer when used in the genital area. So talc we avoid. And instead of talc, what you can look for is cornstarch, baking soda. Those are going to be other powders that you can use for powdered products. And then the last one that you see a lot in skincare, we'll say PEG, which is polyethylene glycols, and then they'll have a number after it. So PEG-10, PEG-80, PEG-100. And the purpose of that ingredient is to help other ingredients absorb into your body, into your skin. So on moisturizer, sunscreen, makes things softer, makes your skin smoother. The problem with that is that when you have that PEG combined with your talc or with a carcinogen, any other ingredient of question, then those things get absorbed at a higher rate into your body. And so avoiding PEGs, aside from the fact that they're also petroleum-based, which can be contaminated with carcinogens as well, everything is contaminated. PEGs on the whole, you'll see a lot and you want to avoid instead. And then when you are shopping, you know, I personally don't even find myself in those aisles anymore because similar to food shopping, right? You kind of have to go in with a plan. If your intention is to be safe, if your intention is to be healthy, you can't just go wander Target if you want to be on a budget, you know, like you're going to spend, right? You have to go with a plan. And so I don't find myself in those aisles. Instead, I use resources like the EWG Healthy Living app, the Skin Deep Living app. I use Think Dirty. I use Yucca for food. So there are a couple different ones. And I say that, but I also use those as a tool and only a tool. It's not an end-all be-all. So if you are looking at products and you see the EWG verified stamp, it's like a green stamp. That's a fantastic product. Fantastic product. If you see a circle with a B inside of it, that means that it's a certified B corporation. B corporations are pretty strong. They work for the safety of people and planet is their mission. Not all of them are, quite frankly, up to beauty counter standards, but they are really safe products on the whole, and you can learn more about them by using other tools. Leaping Bunny, give or take, could mean a lot of things. You know, if that part is important to you, you want to look for vegan certified instead. Yeah, so I think you're looking not only for avoiding perfume, fragrance, talc, PEGs, but you also want to look for things that may have a longer list. You know, a lot of times people think that a long list is bad and a short list is good. But if your product said water and poison ivy, or your product said water, eucalyptus oil, peppermint oil, spearmint oil, lavender oil, lemon oil, and it's longer, it could be a safer product, you know, so you can't just go based on, oh, I only want a few ingredients. That's not necessarily always going to be your safer choice either.
Oh, that was so good. There's so many things. Like, I remember when I was like getting into this, I was like, everything in the store is like corrupt. And when you were saying about like Sephora, I just like, I thought right away, like, I feel like nowadays so many, like literally 9-year-olds are like wearing full faces of makeup. I feel like with TikTok and social media, like, I feel like I was a kid, I was playing outside. Kids now are like putting on a full face of makeup. And I'm like, you're going to wreck your hormones for life. But yeah, just so glad that you're able to just like tell us more about this, because I know for me, like, I'm in this crunchy world and can kind of be overwhelming. So like for you to like talk through each of them was really good. And again, just like, it's always about making like the better choice. Like, you might not make the best choice for every product. One, it's expensive. Two, you can't be perfect. And that's going to stress you out too. But it's like utilizing, you know, your resources, trying your best, like being like, okay, this isn't the best product possible, but it's better than like the Bath and Body Works product I was using. Yeah. So it's about finding that like happy medium too. But one thing I wanted to ask you was just as like a tangible tip for our listeners. If someone could switch out three products only, I know that's hard because we use a lot of products, but what are three things that they would be and why?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this, and I think the three products that you change out are the three that stay on your skin and body the longest. So if you wear makeup, it should be your foundation product. Everyone, sunscreen. I know sunscreen, sun exposure, it's always like, you know, a conversation to be had. If and when you wear sunscreen, it lays on your body, it lingers. There are environmental impacts for certain types of sunscreen as well. Beauty Counter helped to pass a law in Hawaii that banned a certain class of chemical sunscreens. I know you guys have talked about chemical sunscreens. So sunscreen, I would definitely switch out for yourself. And the reason that it was banned in Hawaii is because the coral reef effects, actually. It wasn't even about human safety. But to put it into perspective, if surfers in the ocean, the worldwide, there's one of them ocean, if their sunscreen is impacting the hormones of fish in the coral reef, in this grand scheme of the ocean, think about what it's doing to our hormones staying on our body directly on our skin. And it never really hit me like how important that was and how important that law is until I was putting into perspective a quote from our founder. She says, "A rising tide lifts all ships." And that is exactly it. Like when Banana Boat is required to make a safer sunscreen for Hawaii, they're not going to make a Hawaii-only sunscreen. They're going to make a sunscreen in the masses that then goes on all the shelves. And then when we all start to choose safer, it you know, rises that ship and tells other brands, like, wait a second, we need and demand something safer. So I diverged a little bit there. But so sunscreen, your makeup that stays on your skin. And then my last one is so hard. Do I really have to choose one?
You can choose two if you want. You can do two more. We'll let you do four.
Okay. So on one hand, I really want to say lipstick and color products because the colorants in your products. And I know, Rachel, you make your own makeup. Like you've talked a little bit about how to do all those things, and you can do that. But let's be honest, it is a lot easier to grab a color product at the store, right? Mm-hmm. But those color products are notoriously contaminated with lead and other heavy metals that can cause cancer. So color products that are staying on your skin, like, that's hard for me to not talk about. And then the last one, I would have to say deodorant, making sure that you're using a safe deodorant, especially as women. We are putting the deodorant literally on our breast tissue. Like we are laying it on our breast tissue hours and hours every single day. And, you know, there's no direct research that says aluminum in our antiperspirant causes cancer. And that's a piece of education I have to share. There's no A causes B. However, there are studies that show that increased aluminum exposure in your breast tissue increases production of estrogen. And there are studies that show that increased estrogen increases your risk of breast cancer. So it's not A equals C, but we have a lot of links to consider. So I think deodorant would probably be one that I really encourage people to explore. It is a journey to change that one. But I think Jensen, I talked to your husband about that before I even met you, changing Logan's deodorant.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. So it's an ongoing battle, but I'm not going to give up.
It is tough. Actually, I think I remember you saying that on another episode about the manly smelling deodorant, and we're just trying to help them all the best that we can. But.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that was great advice. I think, like you were saying, those products that we have on us all day, kind of like what you were talking a little bit ago, is, you know, you put all these things on in the morning, not thinking anything of it, like they're the products you've always used your whole life or whatever. And then when you really start counting them up and being like, this is on me the whole day, this product I'm using. I have it on my face. I'm reapplying this lotion. I'm reapplying my lipstick. I have these scents on my body, in my hair. I have all these things. And then you factor in like the toxic products that can also be like cleaning and home goods and the clothes I'm wearing were laundered in toxic products or the bedding, then we really start to realize our exposure, our toxic load is like overloaded because it's constant on us. We're not giving ourselves a break. And so really making these swaps in all areas like we talk about on here is important. But the clean beauty one is definitely a big one. Like you were saying, things like deodorant, the things that are on our body the longest because we're absorbing those when we have them on. And so, you know, our listeners here, we always try to keep a healthy balance when we talk about these things because coming to the crunchy lifestyle can be overwhelming because it's like, okay, I need to switch my diet and my lifestyle and I need to buy this and take these supplements and oh my goodness, where do I start? So we know that going toxic to non-toxic can be a little overwhelming. And a lot of people, I feel like the education's there more now than ever that people are really being like, oh, I want to make these changes. But sometimes they start to get overwhelmed by, well, what do I swap? Where do I start? And so I know you were talking about kind of top three items in beauty collection to go clean with and what they would be. But do you have any other tips for people that are just trying to clean up their toxic lifestyle or whatever toxins they have? What swaps can they make or what are some tangible things they can do maybe?
Yeah. And I, you know, thank you for bringing that up because it is so overwhelming and it truly is progress, not perfection. We say this over and over. And I actually was thinking about this as I was getting ready today because I have this like curly mane of hair, right? And I will not change the hair product that does that. I won't. And it has fragrance in it. And that's that. And so we all draw our lines differently. And, you know, some people say, I am always going to get my manicure. I don't care. I'll, you know, I'm breathing in the toxins, whatever it is. You know, we all draw our lines differently. And I think it's, we all have to laugh and talk about that part too. And for a while, I like would hide my shampoo. I didn't want to tell people that that's what I was using. But it's like, I am a person too. We are all doing our best. And, you know, I do think it can be so overwhelming and I can fall into this too because of social media. I think there's so many armchair experts and I am not an expert. I'm here to tell you what I know and what I've learned in 4 years, but this, you know, this we're all learning. And so I think slowing down, sometimes turning off the research and rabbit hole and noise and starting by looking at the products that are in your home and really just give yourself the intention of a week of looking at what did I use today? What did I use this week? And think about how many products was that? And then you can use an app like EWG or Think Dirty and just start scanning. And then you decide the shampoo is staying or I don't really like it anyway. Maybe I could be fine with something else. And so you just kind of chip away. And then I tell people there are two approaches that you can take for actually making the change. One is waiting until you run out of something. Like there's no, there's, it's okay. There's a research study of teenagers from Berkeley, and they changed their cosmetics to safer products without PFAS, without parabens, without phthalates, without fragrance. And in just 3 weeks, their hormone levels changed. And so when you think about, yes, it is a lifetime of buildup, and the longer you can be in a safer lifestyle, great. But also, if you make a quick change, it's going to start adding up in a positive way too. And so it's okay if you finish out the bottle of shampoo. It's okay if you finish that expensive foundation you got for your birthday. It's okay. And so that's one approach. As you run out of things, hey, I'm running low on this product. Let me see if there's a safer option for me to try. And then the other approach would be to start instead by looking at what stays on your body and starting with those products. And then things like your shampoo, your hand wash, your laundry detergent, some of those things might be easier to switch out because there are more of those readily available on the shelf. But they're also smaller ticket items, price point wise, and they are also not laying on your skin all day long. You know, when you were talking about that, Rach, I was thinking, what else do we do all day long? Nothing. You don't eat salad all day long. You don't exercise all day long. You don't, I hope, smoke a cigarette all day long. Like even if you are smoking, you're not doing it all day long, but products that go on your skin and body are there all day long. And so I think that that's a second approach. If you just start looking at that part specifically and then slowly changing other things as the refill kind of model.
Yeah, absolutely. That's wonderful advice. Thank you so much for that. I feel like our listeners are just going to like soak this all in, and it's going to teach them more things about this, because I think, like I said, at this point, our audience all has an awareness of this some, but it's so great to have a guest on like you who maybe has a little more knowledge in one area than the other, because you enlighten us. Like I know I'm learning too about different things to look out for and to try. And so it's always so helpful to kind of hear someone else talk about it from their experience and their research and their knowledge too. Just super, super helpful.
Thank you. And I feel the same way when I listen, like, oh, I didn't think of it that way before, you know? So it's, I do think in all things in life, no one person has to have all the answers. No one person should hold all of the information. And so it just has to be exactly what you girls are doing, a conversation, like a continued conversation, ongoing talk about what did you try? What worked? What didn't? We are not ever going to get to the perfect answer that's going to be the safest, healthiest. If we did, then, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation at all.
Yeah. I'm going to add one more thing, and then I'm going to ask you just to kind of wrap things up. Something that I've learned is like everyone's body and hair, like not learn, but know this. And it's something that I've just thought about more, like the same foundation might be better for someone than the other person. The same deodorant might be better or, you know, different. So I think it's just important to also recognize that if like your favorite influencer is recommending these brands and you try it on your hair and it like is terrible, like that's because we're all different people. So I think it is a lot of trial and error, for sure. Because yeah, we're all different. We all have different chemical makeups, like, and different products are gonna be different for us.
And you know, another tip, actually, just very practically, is this might sound really silly, and some people might feel a way about this, but like, lean into return policies. There is no rule that you cannot return a foundation. Actually, there isn't. So, and Beauty Counter is a free 60-day return policy for that reason. Exactly what you said, Jensen. Everybody responds differently, and we should. It would be weird if we didn't. But also at other stores and brands, like a lot of times they're very flexible with their return policy because it does get expensive when you're doing trial and error. You know, we had to go dairy-free for a certain period of time with my daughter. And I remember I went to Wegmans and I bought 9 dairy-free cheeses and I paid like $94. And I was like, what did I get here? Cheese. I only have cheese for $94. And so it does get expensive, trial and error, but especially for personal care products, lean into return policies because you can really like spend a lot of money just trying everything.
Oh, that's such good advice. I sometimes forget that I can return things, but I guess I'll wrap things up. Is there anything else you want to mention to our Kinda Crunchy listeners? You have just been so knowledgeable. You've inspired me to like relook at my products, even though I've made a lot of swaps. I feel like I haven't thought about in a while. So
yeah, I feel like I'm gonna go back through and like list all the things I'm using and be like, okay, what other changes can I make? It's re-inspired me too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think just the biggest takeaway I hope is that both that there is a lot of information, but also it does not have to be overwhelming. So I feel like an episode like this, you could listen to four times and hear something like a different nugget, right? All the episodes you can listen to over and over, and you take away something new each time. And just knowing that choosing one thing to latch on to, whether it's your cleaning products, your personal care, whatever it is that you are starting to move into kind of crunchy, you know, lifestyle, is a start. And we all start somewhere. No one's judging anyone. And I'm happy to be a resource for all things safer. And I don't know all the answers, but I will lean into people who have them and happy to share.
Oh, thank you so much. Rachel, do you have anything else to add, or do you want me to kind of wrap things up?
I don't have anything else to add. I think Leah was just like the expert sharing all her knowledge this episode. So I'm still just soaking it in. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And I'll be sure to link her Instagram page, which she shares a wealth of knowledge on there as well. You can always message her with any questions. She would be happy to answer them, I'm sure. But I just want to thank everyone for being here this Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening, as always, to Kinda Crunchy. Again, Leah, thank you. We know that our listeners are just going to eat all this up. But yeah, this was just a great conversation. And I know I learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners did too. So thank you, Leah. Thank you to our listeners for being here. And we will see you guys next week. Bye, guys.
Remember, although we talk all things health and wellness here, this is not medical advice, and you should always seek out your medical professional for further questions. Thanks again for listening. Please remember to share, comment, and subscribe to help support our podcast.